All right. Next one, we've got Christian Branner, who's going to be talking to us about supervising and emulating system calls.
Hey, everyone. I'm Christian. I'm one of the LexD maintainers. Mostly work on the kernel, though.
Is it grim?
Maybe it's not high up enough.
Keep it differently.
Okay. Is this better? Is it better if I still keep my head this way? Okay. Right. I'm going to talk to you about supervising and emulating syscalls and how we make use of this inside of LexD. So, just a brief introduction. I'm not going to explain what syscalls are, but think of it like sort of a way that allows user space to communicate with the kernel, make a request, for example, open a file for me, write something somewhere, and so on. So like a fancy request handler, simplified. And so obviously, in a lot of scenarios, you kind of have use cases where you run an app, and per se, there is nothing restricting this app from making any kind of syscall it wants. I mean, ignore the permission checking that the kernel performs, but in general, the app can just, if it knows the syscall number and how to do syscalls, it can just ask the kernel, perform something for me. And for a lot of apps, you might want to restrict them in the way they can request something from the kernel. You want to, for example, just allow them a certain set of syscalls, not all of them. You might want to restrict how it can call a specific syscall with what arguments and so on. And this is sort of where most operating systems have kind of a similar concept, but on Linux, the part of the kernel that is responsible for allowing you to do such sandboxing is seccomp. So it allows you to intercept system calls and then denies or allows them. Usually, for example, a container runtime that runs privilege at least would block a syscall that is called open by handle add, because with symlink trickery, you can open any file on the host system that you want. And so what usually is done, it returns enosys. So seccomp profile is loaded for that application, and then if the application makes a syscall, open by handle add return enosys or eperm or whatever to tell the application you cannot use the syscall, this is off limits. So you can see where this is going, right? You can have blacklists and whitelists and so on, and most container runtimes make use of this in some form or other. But one of the limiting things is that the kernel actually never blocks. So the policy, to some extent, is not fully dynamic, right? So you can't really do something. If an application performs the syscall, stop it, and wait for me, for example, to tell you what you're supposed to do. That's not possible with seccomp. Well, it was not possible with seccomp. But that would open up a lot of interesting possibilities and would extend how you can sandbox application in a much more fine-grained way. And there's an interesting fact that you should keep in mind for the later part of the presentation. That is, seccomp never runs before the syscall number is looked up in the syscall table. So what the kernel usually does, right, you request a syscall and you pass down a number in a specific register dependent on the architecture. And the kernel then takes this number and is like, I'm looking up in the syscall table the corresponding syscall and then call it. But if this syscall number doesn't exist in the syscall table, right, then the kernel will tell you this syscall doesn't exist. Seccomp runs before that, if you know where I'm going with this. But if not, I'm explaining in a little bit. So seccomp never blocks. What could you do if it actually were you to enable, if it actually would block? Well, there will be a lot of interesting use cases. Like, what we wanted to do is to load a profile that specifies if the application performs the make not syscall, right? Then I want the kernel to not deny or allow it. I want the kernel to wait for me to tell it what it's supposed to return to user space. So the kernel blocks and waits for a response from the corresponding process to tell it what to do. And this is exactly what the seccomp notifier is doing. It's been something that's been toyed around with in various forms, and the guy who implemented this is actually here, Tycho, who did the original kernel work for this. So One of the factors is that SecComp asks user space for the return value in NO, but the execution does never continue, usually doesn't continue in the kernel. So if the application performs a syscall, for example, a make not syscall, and it blocks, the only thing that we can do right now is that we emulate the syscall in user space, right? I'm going to give a demo about this in a little bit. So what this allows you to do is basically fake any kind of syscall may be wrong, but you can very much expand what you can do with containers right now. So containers come, we touched upon this in the first talk, I think, where somebody asked, what are the limitations that you usually experience with unprivileged containers, which are the containers that you should use because they're actually safe, or way safer than privileged containers. Well, you can do a lot of things, right? If you want to mount any kind of block device inside of a container, the kernel will not allow you to do this. Because usually file systems in the kernel are not able to protect themselves against malicious images, so if you allow an unprivileged user to mount any kind of image that has been given, stick in a USB stick, mount it, and so on, you could crash the kernel easily. In user namespaces, you're also not allowed to do any kind of make not syscalls, right? If you could, you could create, I don't know, def kmem, def mem, whatever it is, and then write into random kernel memory as an unprivileged user. It would also be pretty bad. So there's quite a bunch of limitations, and this obviously means that most user space tools have not been written with containers, and especially not written with the user namespaced or unprivileged containers in mind, and it's kind of a catch-up game where user space is slowly accepting containers to be a common thing, and usually tools that get written nowadays will take care to exact function in user namespaces. But a lot of old tools, I don't know, fake root or whatever, they will usually try to create device nodes and so on, and then they're running in a container, and there is no good reason why they shouldn't be allowed to run in a container. But they will fail. But we also don't want to... I mean, the obvious solution, if we're thinking about the make not case that you could throw in my face, is why not have a whitelist of devices inside of the kernel that we deem safe, and if... You know, that's kind of messy, then you get into kind of a catch-up game where you have to wait on the kernel version and that gets you the right device node and whether it's safe or not. And oftentimes, especially for the container case, right, you have a container manager and you have the container, and the container manager is sort of your main authority apart from the kernel. The kernel denies things that are globally unsafe, and your container manager will usually be able to judge whether or not a specific operation is allowed for that container. So it will usually have an idea of the workload. Well, not necessarily, but for a lot of containers, it will know what's the workload, can I trust this process inside of the container, do I think a specific syscall is safe, and so on. And there was no way, there was previously no nice way to actually delegate this power to the container manager itself. And this is where the SecComp notifier really becomes powerful. You load a SecComp profile, and make not syscall doesn't work. But now you have this SecComp profile that stops the process when it performs the make not syscall, right? Right before it's even